I got a question to start off today's sermon for you. Have you ever been called a Pollyanna? A Pollyanna. How many of you are even familiar with the term Pollyanna? It's good. It's not good if you come to, with a sermon and nobody has any idea what you're talking about. Pollyanna. And the term, at least growing up as I heard it, always struck a negative image. If somebody called you a Pollyanna, it's like your head was in the clouds and, you know, you weren't really in touch with reality. But it's a good question. Have you ever been called a Pollyanna? Well, as negative as the world might want to make that concept to be, it's not negative in the sight of God. There was a best-selling novel written back in 1913 by Eleanor H. Porter. And it was a children's classic. And it was simply titled Pollyanna. I want to give you a short summary of the book Pollyanna. The title character is named Pollyanna Whittier, a young orphan who goes to live in Beldingsville, Vermont, with her wealthy but stern and cold spinster, Aunt Holly. Pollyanna's philosophy of life centers on what she calls the glad game, an optimistic attitude she learned from her father. The game consists of finding something to be glad about in every situation. It originated in one incident on Christmas when Pollyanna, who was hoping for a doll in the missionary barrel, found only a pair of crutches inside. Making the game up on the spot, Pollyanna's father taught her to look at the good side of things. In this case, to be glad about the crutches because we didn't need to use them. With this philosophy and her own sunny personality and sincere, sympathetic soul, Pollyanna brings so much gladness to her aunt's dispirited New England town that she transforms it into a pleasant place to live. The glad game shields her from her aunt's stern attitude. When Aunt Polly puts her in a stuffy attic room without carpets or pictures, she exalts the beautiful view from the high window. When she tries to punish her niece for being late to dinner by sentencing her to a meal of bread and milk in the kitchen with the servant Nancy, Pollyanna thanks her rapturously because she likes bread and milk and she likes Nancy. Soon Pollyanna teaches some of the Beldingsville's most troubled inhabitants to play the game. As well, from a querulous invalid named Mrs. Snow to a miserly bachelor, Mr. Pendleton, who lives all alone in a cluttered mansion. Aunt Polly, too, finding herself helpless before Pollyanna's buoyant refusal to be downcast, gradually begins to fall, although she resists the glad game longer than anyone else in the story. Eventually, however, Pollyanna's robust optimism is put to the test when she is struck by an automobile and loses the use of her legs. At first, she doesn't realize the seriousness of her situation, but her spirits plummeted when she is told what happened to her. After that, she lies in bed until unable to find anything to be glad about. Then the townspeople begin calling Aunt Polly's house and eager to let Pollyanna know how much her encouragement has improved their lives. Her encouragement improved their lives. And Pollyanna decides she can still be glad that she at least has her legs. The novel ends with Pollyanna being sent to a hospital where she learns to walk again and is able to appreciate the use of her legs far more as a result of being temporarily disabled and unable to walk. What about our life? What about our view of our life as we take it every day? Do we view our life or the glass of our life as half empty or half full? Do you have a positive view of events that take place in your life? Does life lead you to eventual blessings or eventually to more trials? Those are important questions that we ask ourselves from time to time. What is happening in our life? Because there's a reason for everything that happens in our life. Some things we actually can control. Some things we can't control. Well, today I would like to center the sermon around one particular scripture. As we go through the sermon, we'll see that God has called us to be Pollyannas, and that it will make all the difference in your life, physically and spiritually, in your relationship with God. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 15. Verse 15 says, "All the days of the afflicted." Now this word afflicted, when you look in the original Hebrew, can also be translated to depressed or despondent. So all the days of the depressed or the despondent are evil. But he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. See, God's inspiring us to understand that it makes a difference in your life on how you approach it. If you live your life depressed and despondent and downtrodden, then your days are going to be evil. That's what you have to look forward to, because your focus is based around negative things that happen in your life. You allow negative things that happen in your life to control your actions and how you approach other things in your life. The verse ends by saying, those who have a merry heart, a positive outlook, a good view of what's taking place in their life, have a continual feast. A continual feast. Their life is good despite what is taking place in their life. It doesn't mean you never have trials, you never have difficulties, but you deal with those things from a different perspective. We all have our trials and our difficulties in life. Through the sermon today, I'm really going to focus on 2 points. The first one is, manage your thoughts. Manage your thoughts. And along with that comment, or that point, I have, become self-aware. Become self-aware. You really need to be self-aware to be able to manage your thoughts. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. You think about the story of Pollyanna, and it's kind of neat when you think about how they used to write novels and books, because while it was a novel, and certainly fictitious, I believe, it still taught a lesson in life. And it was a good lesson, a lesson that we can learn from. Nowadays, it seems like all they want to do is intrigue your emotions and get you involved in the story, not so much a lesson to better your life by. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Here Paul gives us some very pointed instruction. I want to read this from the King James Version. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations. The Greek word here for imaginations can be translated to thoughts or reasonings. Casting down your thoughts or your reasonings or things that take place within your mind is what it's talking about. And every high thing, every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. in other words, against the truth of God. And bring into captivity. You can't bring in anything into captivity in your mind unless you are self-aware of what is going on in your mind. You can't manage your thought process unless you are paying attention to what's going on in your life. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That admonition from Paul to us is telling us, if you're a devout Christian and you're dedicated your life to Jesus Christ, manage your thoughts. Become self-aware of how your mind functions and how it works and your outlook towards life. We are to control our thoughts, but most people allow their emotions to control them. Do you realize that? Too many people allow their emotions to control their thoughts. You see, there's a process in our life. Every time, every action that you have in your life, there's a reason for it, and it starts back. That reason for your actions is either because you've thought out and contemplated what you want to do, or something's happened to you, and you've emotionally reacted to it, and then just automatically go. But too many people allow their emotions to control their thoughts. So something bad happens, they get emotionally worked up because of it, and then they react based upon that fear, that anger, whatever emotion is taking place. So that emotion creates thoughts that drive their actions. And when that process takes place, it brings bad results and unhappiness almost every time. Almost every time. But there is another option to consider. We can either allow events to shape us and who we are as a person, or we can shape ourselves despite what goes on around us. And that's what Christians are called to do. Christians are called to shape themselves, to manage and control your thoughts despite what's going on around you. Jesus Christ certainly did that. Jesus Christ had all kinds of negative things being poured on him. And yet he didn't react based upon his emotions. He reacted based upon his thoughts and what was right and what he knew to do according to his Father's law. You see, when you decide that no matter what happens, I will be positive, you are shaping yourself. If you set that as a goal in your life, that no matter what happens to me, I'm going to work to make sure that I turn it to something positive in my life. If you have that focus, you're being self-aware of what's going on in your life, you're managing your mind, and you're controlling your actions so that your actions don't bring pain and suffering to you and to others. It brings happiness and blessings to you and to others. In a book written by Mary J. Lore, and her last name is spelled L-O-R-E, and the book is titled Managing Thought. How do your thoughts rule your world? I'll say that again. Managing thought, : how do your thoughts rule your world? She says, our beliefs, our attitudes, our intentions, our passions, our purpose, all make up our thoughts. All those things make up our thoughts, and they drive our actions. You see, any action that you do in your life, whether it's anger, whether it's happiness, whether it's a smile, whether it's tears, all of those things come first from a thought. She continues in her book, I am talking about developing self-awareness, being aware of our thoughts and feelings and making subtle yet powerful changes that result in ideas, desires, intentions, and ultimately actions that bring us peace and inspire us. When was the last time you felt inspired in your life? When was the last time in your life you thought, wow, I can't believe I just did that? That inspires you. You feel good about yourself because you did something that is leading to a blessing in your life. Her point is, and it's an accurate point, is that when you manage and become self-aware of your mind and what's taking place in your mind, that it will lead to blessings. And you will become inspired in your life, realizing how much control you have of what goes on in and around you and to you. When we really focus on viewing all things that come to us and into our life in a positive way, our approach to life changes. And when our approach to life changes, then our life changes. And that ends up being inspiring for each of us. For example, what if the next time something was said that you didn't like, or something happened to you that you didn't like, something was said that you disagreed with, and you consciously stopped and thought, how can I react positively to this? Your initial emotion might be anger, it might be hurt, it might be frustration. But what if you stopped and you thought, how can I positively focus on what just took place? How can I turn this negative thing that happened to me or in my life in some way into a positive outcome? How can I take these bad emotions? How can I take them and reject them and replace them with good thoughts? Because God has given us that ability. He's given us that ability to recognize bad emotions, bad thoughts, destructive emotions in our mind, to stop them and to focus on good things. Replace them with good thoughts. And then the inspiring thing will happen. You will naturally live life in a blessed way. That's viewing your life in a self-awareness way. Being aware of what's taking place in your life. It allows you to direct your energies in a productive way, turning bad things into good things. Too often we take bad things that happen to us and turn them into more bad things in our life. And not just our life, but even to others around us. It hurts us, and it hurts our relationships, including our relationship with God, when we react and call and give actions based upon hurt feelings or anger. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. Finally, brethren, Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. See, what Paul's telling us to do, this admonition inspired by God through Paul, is that he's telling us to manage your thoughts. Be self-aware of what's going on in your life. Think about what's taking place, because emotions happen like that. Actions need to take time. They need to be thought out. and need to make sure that they're focused and heading, all of our actions, heading in a positive, right direction. Going on in verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul finishes up by saying, if you do these things, if you live your life managing your mind and your thoughts, you'll have peace, and God will be with you. Paul inspired that, or God inspired Paul to give us that admonition for one reason, because we need, and it's important that we manage our thoughts in our life and direct them in a positive direction. The second point for the sermon today is when difficult things come your way, rejoice. When difficult things come your way, rejoice. Think about Pollyanna and the story of Pollyanna for a minute. When Pollyanna hoped for a new doll and didn't receive it, what was the instruction from her father? Through disappointment, he told Pollyanna to be thankful that she didn't need the crutches, and the glad game began. Actually, I forgot to give you the title for the sermon. It's called The Glad Game. But Pollyanna's father knew that she was disappointed. She knew she was hoping for a doll, and she ended up, all that was left was a set of crutches. And he said, well, let's make the best of this and at least be happy that we don't need the crutches. What does our Father in heaven, tell us to do? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. Again, God works through Paul here to give us more instruction on how we are to deal with each other. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. To anyone. Evil things are going to come at us. Difficult things are going to come at us. Someone may come up to you and be very bold right to your face and say hurtful things to you. What does that do instantly in your life? Emotions kick off right now. Right away they kick in. Hurt feelings. Anger, possibly. God tells us, do not return evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue, what does he say? What is good. Always have that positive focus and outlook in your life, no matter what happens. Always pursue what is good, both for yourself, because that's where it starts. And if you're really looking towards positive things in your life and turning bad things that happen to you in your life to good things, it's going to go out from you to others. Always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. What does he say in verse 16? Rejoice always. He doesn't say rejoice when things are really going good, when you get the bonus you didn't expect, when your best friend comes up and gives you a hug. No. The instruction is to always rejoice. Does God realize that sometimes things are going to be difficult? That sometimes offensive things are going to happen to you? Of course he does. And he says, I know it's going to happen. You know it's going to happen. But how do you handle it? Rejoice always. And it's just not about for a Christian to rejoice. We have to go and take things to God, to His throne. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. It's talking and telling us how to deal with difficult things. Don't render evil for evil. Pursue what is good. rejoice, and now take it before the throne of God. And lastly, verse 18. In everything, again, not just when good things take place, in everything give thanks. It doesn't say and specify who to give thanks to, but give thanks to God. Give thanks to your brother. Even those that offend you, that cause trouble and heartache. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Those verses, what it's saying is, this is what God wants you to become. Manage your thoughts. Be self-aware of what's going on in your life. Control them, direct them into a positive outcome. Pollyanna's view not only affected her life, but it affected everyone else around her as well. People quickly began to second-guess their own approach towards life. They could see it didn't matter what happened to Pollyanna. They knew, okay, this, she just hurt her legs. She's probably going to be this positive again. And eventually she was. But it affected not only her, but all the people that knew Pollyanna. They knew how she was. They knew that she turned all things, no matter how difficult they were, into something positive. And people began to second-guess their own approach towards life. People that were harsh, that were hard in their personalities, and coarse in their personalities, began to soften, even her own aunt. When Pollyanna lost the use of her legs, and even she struggled to find the good, what happened? The townspeople called and told her how much she changed their life and their focus on life. That helped Pollyanna to find joy in the fact that at least she still had her legs. And yes, as I mentioned earlier, this is a novel. But the whole concept and power of what's taking place in this story is real. And it's backed up and supported by God's Word that we are to live a positive approach in our life. A positive approach towards things changes everything in our life, and it changes those around us. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Romans chapter 12, beginning of verse 17, it says, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for those things in the sight of all men." I'm sorry, have regard for good things. In other words, Paul's saying here in Romans to pay attention and find the good things in all men. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. In other words, pull your own weight. Be aware of what you are doing to others and how you treat others. As much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves." In other words, don't plan your vengeance when you're hurt, "but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him." It's your enemy. And you see him hungry. Don't rejoice in his hunger. God says, take the negative thing, because he's your enemy, take the negative thing that's there and make it a positive. Feed him. "If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. That's what was happening with Pollyanna's aunt. She eventually softened. Because no matter how mean she was towards Pollyanna, Pollyanna always turned it around to a positive. It eventually ended up changing her aunt. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil. And you become overcome by evil when you allow yourself to act according to your emotions. Think about it. Every time evil happens to you and you get emotionally involved and worked up, what happens? You let your actions dictate what's going to happen next. And then you're overcome by evil because you're disobeying what God instructs us to do. To not strike out against anyone else. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Whenever that evil, that difficult thing comes into your life, find the positive approach to dealing with it. Make it a good thing. When you live this way, according to God's Word, not according to a story novel, Pollyanna, but when you live your life according to this instruction that we've read about today, it makes things change in your life. And you become inspired by those things. You'll make your enemies your friends. And even more importantly, you will keep your friends as friends. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, great men are they who see the spiritual is stronger than material force, and that thoughts rule the world. Thoughts rule the world. He's absolutely right. Our thoughts rule us because from our thoughts come our actions. God's Spirit dwells within your mind to guide you and to give you good decision-making power in difficult situations. But we have to yield to that Spirit. God's not going to force our actions. We have to yield to it. God speaks to us through His Word that we're hearing today. And He speaks to us through His Spirit every day of our life as we go before His throne in prayer. And His Spirit will be there to guide us and to help us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 4 and 5. We read verse 5 earlier, but now I want to look at verse 4. Think about what Ralph Waldo Emerson said. That great men are they who see the spiritual is stronger than the material force. Verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not material force, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now read verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is inspiring Paul to tell us that the thoughts lead us to His kingdom. Living our life according to God's Word leads us safely to His kingdom. The battle that we battle is in our mind. And the strength to do that battle comes from God's Holy Spirit. Remaining positive and rejoicing in difficult times wins that battle. We cannot be defeated when we rejoice in our trials. Satan works against you, trying to cause you to feel downtrodden, to feel negative. He wants you to react based upon your emotions. He wants you to strike back when you feel that hurt from someone else. If we do, we lose the battle. How many people do you know that have made decisions out of emotions because they were in a situation where emotions were elevated to a fever pitch. Think about that. How many people do you know that made decisions in a situation where emotions were out of control? God's church has been divided time and time again under that scenario. Because emotions rage and people make decisions and make bad choices. Their actions turn out negative, not positive, not finding constructive ways of dealing with difficult things. When the thing that you can't stand happens to you, go before the throne of God. Fill your mind with good things. Rejoice before God in prayer. Give thanks to God that He is the Almighty. Because usually when we get upset with things, and we get nervous, and we have that fear inside of us, it's because we doubt. We wonder what the future is going to hold. What's going to happen next? Or take it before God's throne and recognize Him as being the Almighty. He said that's who He is. He is the Almighty. Give thanks to God because He is the Justifier. All the wrong things that happen to us in our life, God has the power to make them just, to balance things out. Give thanks to God that nothing will separate you from His love. That's His promise in His Word. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. And once you do these things, then wait. Sit and wait. Set your emotions aside. Let God handle it. He always does. But He does it according to His schedule and according to His time. Christ is the head of the church. He is your Savior. His power and what He did for you in His life here on this earth is for you spiritually, certainly, but it's also for you physically. Let Jesus Christ fulfill His role in your life. The key to spiritual survival is spread throughout God's Word. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Here's instruction directly from Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for My name's sake." What does Christ say to do when that takes place? Verse 12, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad." He's saying, set your focus in a positive direction. Not in a self-destructive direction or a negative direction. "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Basically what he's saying, it's going to happen because it's happened to others that God has worked through. Why did Christ tell us to rejoice and be exceedingly glad? Because He knows it's so important for our spiritual survival and welfare. When we manage our thoughts and rejoice in all things, our focus becomes completely positive. It's not some act or insincere facade that we put on. That's the way we are to live our life. It's the way you live when you truly understand what you are called to. When you understand the calling, the very personal calling that God has given you, and what He's asked you to do in terms of managing your mind and your thoughts, then you live this way of Pollyanna. But it's not fake. It's not insincere. It is real. It's who you become. It's how you live your life. Final scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Because of this verse, we know and can have full assurance and trust that if we live our life in a very positive, forward-moving focus, that all things will turn out to be good for us in our life. No matter how difficult they might be for that particular moment in time, eventually God will work it out for you for good. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. This is our calling, to live and to trust and to rely that everything that happens in our life, no matter how difficult it is, will be turned to good. Because that is God's focus for you. He wants everything in your life to turn to good. And He will work it that way. It doesn't mean that everything that happens to you in your life is good. There's some very bad things that can happen to us in our life. Very difficult things. But God will use it to your good. Because He's bringing you along in your life. And He's working with you in your life to form you, to fashion you. But He needs your cooperation. He needs you to be dedicated to be managing your thoughts and your focus in your life and have that positive outlook. Because God set before each and every one of us a tremendous vision from His Word about the future that He has planned for each of us. And it's incredible. And we don't even understand it to its full capacity yet. But God is leading us and guiding us there, and He wants us to have trust and faith that all things that He's doing in our life, no matter how difficult they are, will turn out to be for our good. So become a Pollyanna. See the positive reality in all things, and know that God will bring everything around to your good. Have a great rest of the Sabbath. Thank you.